So the project I'm talking about today is a content analysis of local television news stories about school violence incidents. So go ahead and get started. So first of all, nothing to disclose. So in terms of some of the background on school violence, violent death at school is relatively rare and actually only accounts for 2% of homicides among children take place at school or on school property. But non-fatal violence is much more common. And it's sort of our belief that any amount of violence at school is unacceptable because it's meant to be a safe haven for students. And the most recent data shows that about 3/4 of U.S. public schools recorded at least one violent incident. And 5% of high school students carried a weapon on school property within the last year, and 12% of students had been in a fight in the weapon within the last month and had been in a fight within the last year. So actually quite common. And in terms of the media portrayal, this article, which is Dorfman et al., 2001, surveyed some of the literature on crime reporting in print and television, and found that they tend to sensationalize crime, as you probably have noticed. So this type of portrayal can have some negative impact on the public, so it leads the public to believe often they tend to overestimate the frequency of crime and violence and think that it's escalating instead of actually decreasing. And then also that leads to higher levels of fear in the public. And those two things can have the effect that the public might be less likely to support public health measures and be more in favor of punitive measures because they're so fearful of this type of crime. And so with this premise, we really want to look at how the media portrays school violence incidents because we think that has a pretty big effect on the public's perception and also plays a role in shaping future state and national responses to the problem. So this graph kind of explains our decision to focus on local television news for the purposes of this project. So as you can see, local TV news is the highest or the most commonly watched source of television news in the country, which was actually a surprise to me starting this project. And if you look across, you can see that it's higher or more commonly accessed than the print sources, such as daily newspapers, and at this point was still higher than online sources, even though, as you can see, the online trend is going up quickly. So for that reason, we're focusing on television news. So the study aims, this idea for the study was really created in order to inform CDC's larger vision of improving the content and dissemination of media messages around school violence prevention. And specifically, the study aimed to first describe school violent events reported on local TV news stations, to identify the commonly interviewed spokespeople that are in these stories, and also to characterize the types of information and prevention messages that are conveyed by spokespeople and reporters. So to do this, what we did was essentially a random sample of days within an academic year, and then we looked at all relevant school news stories for those days. So it's kind of a complicated sampling approach, but I'll try to break it down. We first divided the year into two semesters, which were these dates were the ones where we expected to actually see school violence stories in the media because school is in session. Then we stratified the media markets so that it was more manageable. Then we randomly sampled days to create constructed weeks. And then for each day, we randomly sampled one media market per strata. So I'll show you what this approach looked like. So first of all, the market strata, basically a media market is any geographic region that receives the same or similar media or news offerings. And so we had 23 media, and then we divided those into 5 strata so that they would reach about an equal number of viewership in the country. So those were the stratum that we used. And then to create a constructed week, we essentially randomly sampled one Sunday from all possible Sundays in February. This is just an example of how we did it for February. And then one Monday from all Mondays in February and one Tuesday and so on until we had 1 week. And after the first semester, we realized that we were not getting the sample size we hoped for, so we did a second constructed week for the second semester, and that helped a lot in terms of sampling. And as you can see, we picked one media market for each strata for each day. So in terms of looking for the stories, we used Shadow TV, which is a web-based commercial monitoring program that tracks daily coverage of television news. And we searched the closed captioning of all the news stories that air between 10 p.m. and midnight, and that was to kind of restrict the time so that we could manage the data, but also the kind of prime time evening news cycle. So these are our search terms, and basically we would plug those in and then scan the closed captioning, and Shadow TV doesn't actually differentiate between news and other programs, so I had to eliminate a lot of CSI and like late random like Jerry Springer type things and sort out to actually get the news stories. And in terms of which ones were defined as school violence, we adapted the definition from the CDC School Associated Violent Death Study and looked specifically for events that took place either on school property, on the way to or from school, or at a school function or on the way to or from that function. So that was the definition we used. And as I mentioned, it was a content analysis, so we were really looking for just kind of a descriptive analysis of what was being talked about in these stories. And so we developed a codebook, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but general kind of reporting characteristics. And we used FileMaker Pro, which is a software to code it. So I would download the video, watch the video several times, and then code the story according to the codebook that we had developed. And I'm going to talk about some definitions. These are the main findings that I'm going to talk about, so just so we're on the same page. So we're going to talk about action steps, and that is essentially a measure that was taken in direct or immediate response to a school violent incident. So things like criminal charges and suspension, lawsuits, things like that were defined as action steps. And prevention strategies were measures taken prior to the event or with the hopes of deterring future school violence events. Protective and risk factors, you've probably heard of, but protective factors are things that might buffer or deter individuals from perpetrating violence, and risk factors are something that might increase the likelihood that violence occurs. And spokesperson, these are people who appear in news stories who are speaking on behalf of others, usually in a professional manner. So I'm sure you've seen this on the news many times where they interview maybe a public health school violence expert or a superintendent, something like that. And in terms of the analysis, we used PASW or SPSS for the descriptive analyses and SAS for chi-square tests and odds ratios. So to talk about the results, I'm going to focus, we have some more descriptive data, but for the sake of time, I'm going to really focus on the data on the spokespeople as well as action steps, preventive measures, and the risk and protective factors that were discussed in the stories. So first of all, we found our final sample had 225 relevant stories, and the majority of those were about local events that had taken place in that media market. I should also mention in this sample we included K-12 as well as colleges or universities, but as you can see, the majority of the stories took place at K-12 schools. So in terms of spokespeople, we found that about 1 in 4 stories had at least one spokesperson, but 3/4 of stories didn't involve any spokesperson. And we also looked at the airtime of the stories and found that the ones with at least one spokesperson tended to be significantly longer, which kind of makes sense. If you're going to have a more in-depth story, you're more likely to have time to bring in kind of an outside expert. So this is a lot of rows, but we wanted to find out who these spokespeople were, and what we found was that the majority, or not the majority, but the highest percentage of them were from the school system, so superintendents, school district spokespeople, principals, people like that. There are also quite a few from the legal sector, so a few lawyers, police officers, police chiefs, some from the nonprofit sector, some from the health sector, and then other just didn't fall into other categories. So, for example, elected officials, a developer of an anti-bullying technology, things like that. So over half of the stories discussed at least one action step, and these are things that tended to be a little bit more punitive in measure, so law enforcement, things like arrests, jail time, prosecution, school punishment, school security, lawsuits, and school investigations. And these categories aren't mutually exclusive, so 131 stories talked about action steps, and they might have talked about more than one of these in each story. Risk factors were discussed in about 1/4 of stories, and I broke these down into levels of the social ecological framework because we love that in public health, but it's kind of interesting to see a lot of the risk factors were in the interpersonal level because during this time there were quite a few stories about youth suicide and bullying, and so being a victim of bullying was a risk factor for suicide or other forms of violence. We heard that a lot. And then there were very few school, community, or societal level risk factors. And some examples of that are things like living in a dangerous neighborhood or not having a lot of social support, but they weren't mentioned very often. Protective factors were mentioned even less frequently, and only 12 of stories were protective factors discussed. And these tended to occur at the individual level, so things like having positive personality characteristics or not having a prior criminal record. Those were the kind of most common protective factors, but again, very rare to hear these in the stories. And finally, prevention strategies. Only 39 of the stories talked about prevention strategies. So if you compare that to action steps, it's kind of an interesting dichotomy there. And of these, school policies and programs, often anti-bullying programs, were the most commonly mentioned prevention strategies. So then we wanted to analyze respondent type versus reporting characteristics. So by respondent type, we mean whether the person talking was a spokesperson or a reporter. And the reporting characteristics we looked at were the same four I just talked about: action steps, prevention measures, and risk and protective factors. So we found that respondent type was significantly associated with the reporting of both action steps and prevention strategies. And reporters were 4.5 times as likely to mention action steps than spokespeople, but spokespeople were twice as likely as reporters to talk about prevention strategies. So basically what this means is that reporters are the ones who are more commonly going to talk about those punitive action steps, whereas spokespeople are more likely to bring in a public health or prevention-oriented perspective, which we thought was pretty interesting. We didn't find any significant association between respondent type and risk or protective factors, and that might also be because the sample was very small. There weren't many risk or protective factors mentioned. So, in terms of what this means for implications in future research, to summarize the key findings, the local television news stories that we found focused more on punitive than preventive measures, which we kind of expected. Risk and protective factors were rarely mentioned, and the most commonly interviewed spokespeople were school and legal representatives. And the last point we just talked about, so I'll skip ahead. Just wanted to cover a few limitations. First of all, we only included stories in television news, and as we saw earlier in the presentation, online news is definitely increasing, so future research, we'd really like to look at online content and also potentially print content of school violence coverage. We also combined K-12 and colleges and universities in our sample, but I think in future analyses we're planning to separate those two because we understand that the nature of the violence could be quite different between those two groups, so hopefully we'll have some data on that soon. We also only looked at stories that did include a violent event, but we're, you know, thinking that if we looked also at news stories that were more about a positive, like perhaps positive community events or school events, things like that, that those might also have some important violence prevention messages that would be interesting to look at. So another idea for the future. And we also think it's important to assess the evidence for the prevention strategies that are being discussed and promoted most commonly, just to understand the evidence base better. For example, the anti-bullying programs I mentioned, a lot of those were passed in this time, and it'd be interesting to understand what effect those might be having. So some implications for future research and efforts. First of all, educating reporters about the sort of getting the idea across that violence is a preventable thing and that public health and prevention is really important with this topic because they tend to really focus on the action steps and the more sort of punishment of perpetration rather than prevention of the event. Also, it's important to work with media outlets to encourage the use of spokespeople. And as we found in our sample, only 1 in 4 stories included a spokesperson. And so it kind of shows that it's a nice sort of gap that could be filled in terms of reaching out to media outlets to tell them to include spokespeople. They can often provide an interesting and more positive perspective on the story. And finally, to disseminate information to spokespeople, especially school leadership, to prepare them for these kinds of opportunities. So even when a spokesperson was mentioned, only about 1/4 of them talked about prevention. And I think that's a nice opportunity there in terms of communicating with them and reaching out about some of the things that we identified in the data. And also telling spokespeople that they can reach out to reporters so that they know that they're available when another school violence incident occurs, so that they can become more involved in the reporting, because that's really what reaches the public. So thank you for listening.